Blog Talk Radio.
To the VRO. Today is March the 31st, 2010, and tonight your host is myself, Amy, and always Jess, and we have a special co-host, Andrea, tonight. Hi, girls.
Hi, how are you?
So, Jess, besides our special co-host tonight, who else do we have with us?
Well, actually, I'm really actually very pleased. We have Kelly McRae, an artist living in Brooklyn. She made her CD debut in 2006 with the album Never Be. And actually, that was the song titled Never Be that we just played in the opening. The album received rave reviews, including 4 stars in Pace magazine, and her performance on WNYC's soundtrack was named one of the year's best. The album led her to reunite with an old friend who called on her to write and perform the music for Breck's St. Joan of the Stockyards at legendary NYC theater, PS-122. So we're all pleased tonight to welcome Kelly McRae. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. So we opened with Never Be, which is the name of the first album that you made in 2006. Now, tell us a little bit about Never Be and how it came about.
Sure. Well, the song itself is about a sailor friend of mine, a guy named Richard, who's in his 70s. I lived in Baltimore for a year before I moved to New York, and it was the first year that I spent really focusing on music, and I played this gig every Thursday night down by the harbor, and I had the most, like, amazingly hilarious group of sailor men and all sorts of random Baltimore people who would come to these shows. And Richard and I just became good friends. So I wrote that song for him after I had moved to New York. And we were talking on the phone one day, and he said, Kelly, you'll never be far from me. And so that's where that line came from. I tend to steal good quotes from people and turn them into songs. So.
Has he heard the song? Does he know?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Very nice.
He's a huge supporter, so that's great. And the album was, I had been in New York probably, I guess a couple of years, and had teamed up with my label Sonoblast, and had a handful of songs that I was really excited about. And they put me in the studio. I got to work with a guy named J.D. Foster, who has worked with people like Richard Buckner and bassist for Patty Griffin. So I was really pumped. And, yeah, it turned out well. I'm excited.
Nice. Now,
yeah.
you lived in several parts of the country before you landed in Brooklyn, Baltimore
yeah.
being one of them. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey and why you decided to make New York your home?
Sure. I grew up in a little town called Starkville, Mississippi, and it was a great place to grow up. It was sort of a nice mix of, like, really just, like, small, southern, friendly place, and it also had a university there, so there was sort of a sense, too, of this, like, big outside world, and I always knew that I wanted to see the world and travel and all that, and I thought at the time that I wanted to be an actress, and I went to Texas because I studied acting at SMU. They have a really good acting program. So, but my junior year, I took a random guitar class as an elective and just started almost immediately and obsessively writing songs. And they were terrible, and my poor roommates had to endure them all. But I just couldn't stop, and by the time I graduated, I knew that I wanted to do music, but I was penniless and I had a theater degree, so I ended up living on my parents' couch in Baltimore for a year before I got myself together to move to Brooklyn.
Now, why Brooklyn? Why did you move to Brooklyn or in New York in general? Well, New York is
yeah,
really...
Yeah, New York, exactly, yeah. Well, you know, I loved the South and I loved growing up there, but I wanted to see a different part of the country and a different part of the world. So I actually called up a good friend of mine who works in Austin in the music scene there. And I said, look, I'm either going to move to Austin or New York or Australia. And I don't know. Don't ask me why Australia. And he said, you should move to New York. They have a really great supportive singer-songwriter community there. And I think you'll do really well there. So. That's how I did.
And you have.
Yeah, it's been great. I really love, it's just an amazing city. I actually have family here too. Both my brothers live here and a lot of friends from school, so I'm kind of spoiled in that way. But the music community is really great. I just have, friends who are so good at songwriting that it keeps you on your toes. So that's how I like it to be.
Very nice. Now, you mentioned that you were studying theater in Texas, FNU, and you also were studying graphic arts, correct?
Well, I was studying visual arts. Growing up, when I was little, I always thought that I wanted to be a visual artist, and I spent a lot of time when I was growing up drawing and painting, and even in school, I went to Italy for a while and studied art, and But once I picked up that guitar, it was almost like every other creative outlet funneled itself into writing. I just found that I could express myself in ways in writing that I hadn't been able to, painting or acting.
Now, how old were you when you realized that you wanted actually a career in music? I know that you said you started in college learning
right.
the guitar. Is that when you, did you know you could sing before then, or did you kind of find out when you started?
I always knew I loved to sing. I sang growing up in the church choir and, you know, musical theater in high school and all that. And I always knew I loved to sing, but it had never occurred to me at all that I would be a professional musician. I think it was only once I really, truly fell in love with songwriting
and, you know, wanted to perform these songs that I was writing, that I thought, man, I think this is it. And even still, I was in this really intense acting program. So I, for the last couple of years of college, I was really struggling, like, do I do this after, you know, getting this great education in acting? And it was just sort of, I can't explain it other than it was just like it wouldn't leave me. It just became more and more clear that that's the thing that was really where my heart was singing and performing. And I felt more comfortable than I ever had in my life when I was performing these songs. So
very nice. Now, I just want to remind everybody who's listening live who may not know, if you're new to VRO and VTR, you're listening to Kelly McCrae. She's a singer-songwriter in Brooklyn. And actually, I wanted to also let you know that there is a chat room. You can listen live like you're doing now, but if you sign in with a username and a password, you can actually participate in the chat instead of just watch us talk on there. And it gives you an opportunity to ask questions and interact during the interview. So if you want to just do that, that's great. You can also give us a call at 718-508-9440 if you have a question for Kelly or a question in general. It doesn't have to be about her particular music. You can ask her almost anything in regards to the music industry, and I'm sure she'll have some great advice, which actually brings me to one of my next questions.
Okay.
Do you have any advice for young artists that are trying to make music their career?
Absolutely. I think that the best thing that you can do is surround yourself with people who are doing it, who are performing and who are working towards a professional career, and who, more than anything, whose songs you really love. And just not be afraid to really put yourself out there and try to learn. When I moved to New York, I was fortunate in that I met this great group of musicians, and, you know, I can't tell you the number of hours I spent in, you know, in my bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning trying not to wake up my roommates because I was working on songs. So I would mainly just say to really put yourself around great people, to read great books, and to also kind of find the history of music that you're trying to continue. You know, for me, that's sort of like this folk well, you know, of the Carter family and Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan and all these amazing people, and to sort of try to continue that, you know, that sort of legacy. You should know where you're coming from, and then from there, if you're doing great music and you're performing live and you're doing everything you can to really put something out there that you believe in, you know, I do believe the audience will follow.
Now, you actually mentioned Johnny Cash in there, and you actually named one of your songs Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I'm not a super fan of Johnny Cash, but I do like him. I do like some of his music. He is very intense.
Yeah, he is intense.
Very intense. So it's actually a very good segue. I'd like to play that song in a minute. But if you'd like to give us a little bit more, expound a little bit about the song Johnny Cash and how it came to be, and really where your head was at when that was created.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, like I said, I live in Brooklyn, and one of my favorite things to do is just kind of wander around and look at graffiti. I actually find it pretty inspirational. It's amazing the things you see in the city. And one night I was doing just that. I was down by the East River in Williamsburg, and it was really shortly after Johnny Cash had died, and someone had written like 30 feet long on the side of this like old warehouse, Johnny Cash died of a broken heart. And it just sort of hit me in a way that I knew the song was there. And so I went home and picked up my guitar, and that's sort of how it happened.
Did you take a picture?
You know, I didn't take a picture, but years later, I Googled it or something, and someone had taken a picture. It was on Flickr.
Okay.
So there is a documentation of this piece of graffiti.
No, it's not that I didn't believe you. I just thought it would have been great to go along with the song.
Oh, no, you're right. You're totally right.
I'm not even sure if I still have it, but it's out there somewhere. If someone wants to Google that right now and post it, you know, it's out there.
Very nice. So we're going to take a quick break. Andrea, I've been kind of, and Amy, I've been kind of keeping Kelly to myself with our little mini conversation here. So why don't you guys think of some questions that you want to ask her when we come back from our little break here. In the meantime, I'm going to play Johnny Cash by Kelly McRae. Here it is.
Jess said she was taking over the interview, but I thought she was doing an amazing job. So I'll jump in here and ask a question or two.
Okay.
Who were your musical influences growing up?
Yeah. Well, growing up, my parents played, they played a lot of Aretha Franklin and Bill Withers, which was amazing, and they were all also big Creedence Clearwater Revival fans and Fleetwood Mac and gosh, who else? Once I got into my teens, my brother sort of took over the helm of my, you know, being the influencer of my musical choices, which led to Uncle Tupelo and Richard Buckner and Patti Griffin and Gillian Welch and a lot of people who are my, you know, current day heroes. So.
And so why did you choose, like, folk music?
You know, that's a great question. It was interesting. I think I spent a lot of time trying to figure out, you know, what my voice is as an artist, like what type of music I want to play, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I kind of feel like folk music chose me in a weird way. And I don't know if that's just because that's what I grew up with. You know, I grew up hearing those four-part harmonies in church and hearing, like, the gospel music or the blues music of the South. So that when I moved to New York and when I really in earnest tried to figure out what kind of songs I wanted to sing and I wanted to write, that was always the music that felt the most natural to me. And even more so, you know, years later, that's the music that most speaks to me.
Very nice.
You have a beautiful voice for folk music.
Yeah,
thanks.
Very pretty voice.
Thank you.
I find also that folk music kind of allows you to tell the story more than, well, I don't know, it's my opinion. I happen to like folk music, so.
Yeah. No, it is. It's very much a storytelling, you know, type of music. And I think that, I mean, coming from being an actress and which is your, you know, it's your job to tell that character's story, I'm sure that also fed into it. You know, I sort of trained to figure out someone's story and their point of view. So, yeah.
We're actually getting some feedback in the chat room. Grounded Souls just popped in. She signed in. She says she likes the song Johnny Cash, and that you and Toy Chick says that you have a beautiful voice.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
So there are actually people in here talking randomly.
That's great.
And so hopefully we are taking questions in the chat room. Also, you can give us a call at 718-508-9440, and we'd be happy to put you on the line with Kelly. You have, even though you're doing folk music, you have a very wide range of songs that you're doing. No one
yeah.
song sounds the same, which is good.
Yeah.
Do you find that challenging or just...
Yeah. I do. I mean, I sort of referenced it earlier. You know, I think I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out, you know, what my sort of particular sound and voice is, and you definitely can hear it on my albums, particularly the second one. I mean, I love all types of music, and that comes through. I do think that with my third album, which I'm starting to record a bit of and demo some of these songs, I'm coming more and more back to what we talked about more, which is like this country folk sort of soul thing. It can make it a bit hard when you're in shows and every time you open up your mouth to sing a new song, you know, you're telling the audience to go to a new genre with you. So it's been nice to have a sort of more of a coherence in shows and songs.
Yeah.
But it's a challenge for sure.
I was going to ask you, before we went away and listened to Johnny Cash, there was one question that I had asked you before, which was the advice that you had for young artists. Do you have any words of wisdom, things for them to watch out for?
To watch out for? You know, I would say that persistence is the whole name of the game, both from a artistic point of view and from a business point of view. So if they could do anything, it would just to be to sort of put into check that ego that we all have, which says, like, I want to be, you know, doing this on a higher level tomorrow. I want to be famous tomorrow. I want to make money tomorrow, you know, like, or even in a year or 2 years. Like, if you really do want to pursue music as a career, then really dig in deep to what it is you love about the music and about performing and about writing and about touring, because these are the things that are going to make up the day-to-day. And so just to be careful of, you know, just to keep your sort of sights in the right place, which is a really hard thing to do, you know, but persistence really will be the name of the game.
Speaking of that, New York is not a cheap city to live in. Are you Are you spending all of your time doing shows, or do you have like a side job that you do? How are you able to afford to live in an expensive city, especially in the borough of Brooklyn?
Yeah, it's an extremely expensive place to live. When I moved here, I was working, originally I was working at a catering hall, and I did that for a while. And now I work just a few blocks away in my neighborhood in Williamsburg, which is great. I work part-time for a web development company. So I have like sort of two hats. I have my like project manager hat, mm-hmm. and I have my musician hat. But thankfully, my new job, they're super cool. They're big fans, and they let me tour, and they let me, you know, have a lot of flexibility. So, yeah, that's another huge thing. It's just like putting on your grown-up pants and going to work, you know, when you just want to be singing songs. But
you have to make money, too. Yeah.
Got to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of, you did mention that you were working on a third album. We didn't talk about the second album, which is High Rises in Brooklyn.
Right.
Very cool album.
Thanks.
And one of my favorite songs we're going to play in just a little while, which is the title song off of that album, High Rises in Brooklyn. Just it really does it for me, especially since I grew up in Brooklyn. So it's So I grew up in Brooklyn.
You know that.
About 14, and then my parents moved me. Well, my mom moved me to Northern Jersey, which if anybody hasn't seen Northern Jersey, it's not like what you see on The Sopranos. I mean, it is because they actually filmed it there, but I moved to the country of New Jersey, mountains. So I went from running all over the city, 14 years old, to needing to be driven everywhere. And I think that there was actually somebody walking a pig when I moved there the first time.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that one's pretty close to heart, is that song. But you did mention that you're working on your third album. How's that going, and are you doing any other projects, or are you doing any touring soon?
I basically, right now, all of my energy and focus is going towards writing these songs and demoing these songs for the third album. I might be touring a little bit in the fall, but I don't think I'll have the album done by then, so it's sort of, you know, my schedule is sort of up in the air a little bit. But really my main focus right now is just writing some killer songs. That's what I'm trying to do.
When you're talking about writing songs, do you write the music first and then the song, or do you kind of plug away at both, or does the lyrics come before the melody?
In general, for me, oftentimes, the lyrics and the melody will come simultaneously, or at least part of them will. I might have, like, an idea of something I want to write about, and then that's sort of where that will come from. Sometimes I'll write the lyrics first and the music later. And recently I've been collaborating more, which has been amazing. And, for instance, this past weekend I wrote a song with a woman who lives in, you know, England. She sent me these lyrics, which I loved, and I wrote the music. So it's sort of just, it just kind of totally depends. But I'm trying to sort of open my idea of how a song can be written, you know, come at it from a lot of different angles and use a lot of different muscles. So
very nice. We have some questions in the chat room.
Cool.
Somebody says they love the song Fallen by you, and I'm sorry, that's in regards to somebody else. but then Twychick says, how long did it take before you got your CD put out on the market, the first one she's referring to? How long did it take you to actually get it out there?
So I'm assuming that they mean, like, you know, from the time that it was recorded, maybe, how long did it then take to actually get into stores or online? Is that what you think as
well? I'm sorry, say that one more time.
So I'm assuming the question is, and I'll just answer it as, from the time it was actually recorded in the studio and done being recorded, like, how long did it take to get into stores or in online? I think that's the question.
Yeah, that's what she is asking.
And The first album and the second album both differed, but it was sort of the same situation where you go into the studio and you have this time set aside that you're recording, and you get it back and you think, you know what, I want to do that song over, or I want to change this, so you go in again, and then you get it back and you're like, okay, let's master it. And so then you 2 months from then you master it, and then, you know, you get the cover art together, and then you get your publicity ready, and then you get your tour, started, and so it takes months and months and months, really, and it just totally depends on, who you're working with, and I think it took a full year from the time I had recorded Never Be to the time that it was out, from the time we released it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a long time.
That's a long time, and I think it even took longer for High Rises. It's just such a, at the same time, people could totally, these days, especially record, last week and put it out this week. So it really just depends on, how people want to go about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break again, and play my favorite song, High
Awesome.
Rises in Brooklyn. And, and then we'll come back again. I think we lost Andrea. I think her phone finally died on here.
Uh-oh.
Here, yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a little, we have some new guests here, so I'm going to play a little clip, and then we're going to play your song. So let me just
Great.
Find the clip first because I, here we go. This is Kelly McRae, and it is High Rises in Brooklyn.
Thank you.
welcome back. And if you've just joined us, we are listening to Kelly McRae live. That was just High Rises in Brooklyn. And we do a lot of shows on the VRO, different segments. Wednesday nights are our Band on the Rise. If you are interested or you know of some bands that should be on the rise or you think that they should be showcased, feel free to send us a quick link or an email with their name, MySpace link, or just give us something to go off of. And, you know, hopefully if we can find them and listen to them and like them, then we'll have them on. You can send suggestions to VRO at thevro.com. Or you can send an email directly to me, but you'll have to go on the VRO website, www.thevro.com, in order to get it. I don't think I want to give that out on air. Real quick, in mentioning the other shows that we do, one of the shows was The Real Story, and we had director Phil Giordano on talking about his short film. I just got a Twitter from him saying The Empty Playground, which is the name of the short film that we were talking about, was just selected for the director showcase at NYU's Cantor Film Center on May 19th. So if you guys are interested in that and you're in the area in New York on May 19th, it's a Wednesday night, I can't make it, you can go to, I think it's Paper Bag Tickets or something like that. Let me just see. I just clicked on the link here. I'm going off of topic for a minute. It's Brown Paper Tickets. So you go to www.brownpapertickets.com, and they are also showing seven other films by New York filmmakers, and Flavia Alves and Kevin Stalkin will be there also. It seems like a really good time if you're in the city. I'm kind of shooting myself for not being there now. And it's only $9, so check it out if you're there. So now that I've gone off, we can come back and talk to Kelly. Sorry about that. I just got really excited.
That's
so
awesome.
I just got a Twitter, and I was like, oh, I got to say that on air.
That's awesome.
Cousin's got a great cousin.
Shush. Got to keep it in the family, man.
That's right, man.
Anyway, in any case, he actually did a music video for somebody else that we're coming that's coming on in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks or so, Someday Static. And they're also based in New York, too. So it's really nice.
Cool.
But back to Kelly. Thanks for bearing with me, Kelly.
Absolutely.
What do you like most about being a recording artist? Do you like being in the studio, or do you like playing in front of people?
Wow, that's really
like three different.
That's a
questions.
Really good question. Well, I mean, I think my gut instinct initially is that the thing I like the most about it is just the live show. You get to have such great immediate connection and response from the audience, and really magical moments can happen live. And so I love that sort of air of spontaneity about it as well. So although at the same time, when I was in Chicago recording High Rises in Brooklyn, I was like a kid in a candy store every single day of my life. So, you know, I really, if I'm doing music, I'm usually pretty pumped about life. So, yeah.
And, if you could record a song as a duet with any other recording artist out there right now, who would that be?
Oh, my God. What a doozy. What a doozy. If I could record a duet with any other recording artist out there?
Yeah, that right now.
Right now.
Right now. So I guess
like they would come to my
limiting artist. It so you can't
right
go back to, like,
now.
Ella Fitzgerald, but they're limiting it to
all right.
People who are out right now, any other person out there right now, who would that be? And
yeah,
that comes from Andrea, who we lost before. So I'm asking her.
You know, I think I'm just going to, I mean, if this is like, you know, I could have any wish I could have, why not just shoot for the frickin' top of the tops and say, like, Bob Dylan, come on over
nice
to my apartment in Williamsburg. Let's lay down a track, man. Let's do it, you know? Why not?
You never know. Sure. He could just show up, too. He's kind of like that.
Exactly. I'd be like, word, let's do it. So, yeah, why not? Bob Dylan. Bring it on,
right.
Dylan.
Bob, you've been put on notice. You need to contact
Kelly. The word is out. The word is out on the street.
She's in Williamsburg. Google her.
That's right.
let's see. Somebody asked, now you mentioned your inspiration for Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that you do like to look at the graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
And it does inspire you. But where do you get your inspiration for your lyrics? Are they experiences that you've had in life, or friends and family have had, or are they ideals? Where are they coming from?
I would say usually it's experiences that I've had in life. You know, if you listen to my two albums, I mean, bless my freaking little broken heart, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of songs on there about, you know, just trying to love and getting your heart broken, and that is, you know, definitely been an experience that I've written about a lot. That being said, I also have a new song called A Good Man Is Hard to Find about how, you know, good men are out there and keep the dream alive kind of thing. And I just wrote a song with somebody about their little dying sort of farm town that they grew up in the Midwest. And we did a lot of research on the town and on the people. And so, I mean, it can be everything from, like, being nerdy and, like, researching something and researching a story that interests you, or being inspired by a novel. I've written a song inspired by the novel Home by Marilynne Robinson. But in general, it tends to be, you know, you have an experience, or you have a memory, or you have something that is really sort of, you sort of unearth from your own experience. That tends to be, I write to sort of figure out things about myself and about the world, so.
I was watching something on YouTube, and I, forgive me if I've just stuck my foot in my mouth, but I think it was one of the YouTube videos of you in front of an audience. Could have been in England. Were you in England anytime recently?
I'm going to be in England in May, but
was one. I was trying to think of if it was you or somebody who was similar to you, because I was looking at music, and she was describing in the video to the audience about how her friend told her that she's always writing songs about lost love, and, you know, they wanted to see her, you know, write something happy. But that
uh-huh.
When she tried to make a happy song, it kind of didn't really come out okay. So
it didn't work. I mean, that very well could have been me. I'm not even sure. I feel like I have said that before, and I definitely have people who will be like, hey, throw us a frickin' happy bone every now and then. But that,
right.
But again, I have some new songs that are just going to rock people's worlds with happiness. That's an exaggeration, a wild one, but, you know.
But it's true, though, especially when you're telling, like, a story. Nobody wants to hear about how much you're in love with your boyfriend. They want to hear
right.
about the heartbreak, because they've all had the heartbreak.
Exactly.
So,
I mean,
it's hard,
essentially,
right?
Yeah. And I'm really good at writing sad songs, so, like, you know, why
all good songwriters
it, you know,
are.
They wrote, you know? So, but I do, you know, I do think there is something in, I mean, first of all, I love sad songs. Like, one of my favorite artists is Patti Griffin. I mean, she writes a sad song that will, you know, just stab you in the heart, like, five times over, you know. But when you're sad, or when you're going through something, I mean, sad songs are the things you want to hear. They actually make you feel better. But I do like to, you know, I have a song about my growing up and, you know, my hometown. I mean, there are definitely songs that I have that aren't just like, oh, my God. You know, because when you're playing live, you really don't want the audience to leave, like, really depressed, you know?
No,
like,
you don't want them to slit their wrists in the air.
Exactly. That's not a good thing.
No.
I try to shake it up a little bit, you know?
Speaking of, have you been back to your hometown? Have you played in your hometown?
You know, I haven't. And they have a Johnny Cash festival there. They have, because Johnny Cash was arrested in Starkville, Mississippi for...
Right.
Picking flowers in somebody's
right.
yard, a.k.a. I think he was, like, drunk, you know, at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely.
And so they have the Johnny Cash Flower Picking Festival where they ceremoniously pardon him every year. And so I'm hoping to get back to play in Starkville at that festival, and maybe in, I think it's in October or one of these falls. I'm really hoping it works out. That would be a great way to return home.
That would be great. That sounds like a lot of fun, actually. I think I might have to research that for
yeah,
when
right?
the
and they have,
together.
They have really great artists that have played it. Roseanne Cash and John Francis. And I'm just, like, totally legit awesome people play the festival. So I'm pretty proud of my little hometown.
Very nice.
Good thing.
And so what did your parents think when you just, well, they kind of had to be understanding anyway since you went off to school to study performing arts, much like I
right.
did.
Right.
So they couldn't have been very close-minded to begin with and probably were very supportive for you. But what did they think when you changed from performing arts to, I want to go write music in New York?
Right. They, you know, they, like you said, you're sort of on to us. My older brother is an actor as well. And so, like, you know, we sort of grew up in a family where, you know, my dad's an architect, my mom's a teacher. There was a sense of, like, go out and explore the world and pursue your dreams. I mean, to the point where we're all broke, and it's hilarious, you know, we're all, like, pursuing our dreams and totally broke.
All
laughing, but, but, so we love to joke about it. But, you know, they were incredible. My dad's favorite quote is, walk on air despite your better judgment. And and they're great examples of really just going for it. So, yeah, they've been hugely supportive. And like I said, they let me sleep on their couch for a year in Baltimore in their one-bedroom apartment. So, you know, it was cozy times. They were definitely hearing all these songs I was writing and trying to write. And so, yeah, they've been great. They've been really supportive of the music.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we are very happy that you were here to join us. We're running out of some time.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. I appreciate it.
It was really fun. I really had a good time, even though I did kind of take over the interview. Amy was doing behind-the-scenes stuff, and we lost Andrea. But I think it worked out well.
Yeah,
and, and you're one of the first people recently who've actually sent us four songs instead of three songs. So that was
Woo-hoo!
Really cool to be able to play more of your music, because every time people come to listen to the show, they're like, oh, well, is there any more? Can I listen to any more? Where can people buy your music? Can they get it on iTunes?
They can get it on iTunes. I would encourage them, though, to go to my website, which is kellymcrae.com. It's KelleyMcrae. You can get it from my website. You can get it on iTunes. You can just Google away, and it's all out there. And you can also listen to my albums on my website. So
your website is kellymcrae.com.
Yep.
And your MySpace is myspace.com/
is it Kelly McRae?
Yep. Okay.
So
if you guys want to hear more from Kelly, definitely check out her website. Buy some music from her, because she needs to start going out on tour. And she's got a record to produce, a third record.
That's right. Bring it on, people.
So we have, there's Never Be, and there's quite a few songs on there. And then there's High Rises in Brooklyn. Which, does High Rises in Brooklyn have the BQE on it, or is that Never Be?
It does have the BQE on it.
That's a funny song.
Well, yes, it is. It shows how obsessed I am with New York City. For those people who don't know, the BQE is the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. It's sort of a love song to the BQE, which is kind of effed up, but in a hilarious way.
But it is. It's very amusing. And that's actually one of the songs that that led me to come in contact with you. So it's Never Be and High Rises in Brooklyn. And do you have a name for the third album?
Well, you know, I don't yet. I'm throwing around the album title, and this is, you know, the first time I've spoken it, so don't hold me to it.
Okay.
I'm throwing around the title Dusk. I have a new song called Dusk, and I think that the song sort of encapsulates the feel of the album. So I think that's what I'm leaning towards. We will see if it makes it. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I like that one. So we need to fund her new album. So you need to go to her website and listen to her music and buy music and comments. I'm sure you like feedback, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Bring it on. Email me. It's all there.
Yeah.
Sign up for my mailing list as well.
Yes, and you're not doing anything soon, are you? You're not doing any touring?
I have shows in New York. I have a couple shows in New York. I have one in April, one in May. I am actually going to Europe in May. I'm going to be playing a couple shows in London, I think a show in Paris, and possibly one in Berlin. And then I'll be doing, I have a show in Knoxville, and probably in Nashville coming up as well. So I've got stuff here and there.
It's all on your website.
Yeah, it'll all be on my website as soon as the dotted line is signed on these shows. The New York shows are up right now, so come on out.
All right, very nice. Now, Kelly, one thing we discussed off air is we like to ask our guests if they would be willing to do a sound clip for us, basically stating your name and that you're listening to the VRO. And we basically make a mashup out of that. And
great.
You agreed to do so very graciously. So we're going to give you that opportunity now. Again, it's just, this is Kelly McCrae, and you're listening to the VRO. You can add something. You can just leave it like that. Whatever you want. It's your baby. It's going to be
great.
A mess. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to give you a countdown. Three,
okay.
Two, one.
Hi, this is Kelly McCrae, and you are listening to the VRO.
Thank you very much, Kelly. And
you're welcome.
We really appreciate you being here.
It was my pleasure.
Yeah. And is it okay if we play your music from time to time on the air?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
That's a good word. Thank you very much.
No problem. And we hope you have a lovely rest of the week, although there's only 2 days left, and then it's Yay Weekend. But thank you again for coming on. And I did send you an email with that contact information, so just check your email.
Great,
and
awesome.
From what we were talking about before. And Amy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I am ready for the VRO news.
What are we doing for the rest of the week?
The rest of the week, we have off.
Hey!
Yay!
Well, there's something special happening on Monday, right?
Yes, Monday, Angie will be re-airing at 10 o'clock. She'll be re-airing our Jackson Rathbone interview. So definitely come by the chat room, hang out with Angie. She will not be talking on air. She'll just be in the chat room hanging out. Tuesday, there will be no show. And Wednesday, who do we have, Jess?
Oh, goodness. Wednesday is the 7th. We have Wake Up Lucid. Wake Up Lucid is, yeah. They were actually on from a band night that we had a couple of months ago, almost a year ago, actually, the same one that we did was an open mic night where Heidi Sierra was on, and everybody loved that their song Word so much that we asked them to come back, and they have given us 4 songs as well, and so they will be coming on Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Yes, Wednesday 9 p.m., and I've actually seen them play live, and they are amazing.
Mm-hmm. They play with 100 Monkeys, right?
Yes.
Mhm.
And
they're all related. I think they're all related. I think they're like cousins or something.
Did not know that.
Mhm.
And then that will be our last show for that week. I will not be here. So if you need anything, do not email me. Email Jess.
Okay.
I will be down in Covington, Georgia, with a couple of the Vampire Diary fans, a couple of my friends. And we're just going to go stalk the cast again.
Sweet. You're going vampire hunting, huh?
A couple of us got called back for being extras. So that's we're just going to go
out. Amy on TV. All right. Well, thank you, everybody new, for listening and for joining us. And hopefully you will join us again next week. And, again, a special thanks to Kelly McCrae. And I think we're going to go out. Kelly, are you still there?
I am.
She is. We're going to go out with Last Call Town.
Last Call Town, yeah.
Yes. So tell us about that song before we shoot off here.
Last Call Town is a song I wrote, sort of a public service announcement of sorts about how you probably shouldn't look for love in a bar at 4 a.m. But it's probably not going to work out for them.
No.
So that's sort of what it's about.
Okay, so this is Kelly McCrae for the last time for tonight, Last Call Town. Thanks again, Kelly.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, guys.
Want more of the VRO? Visit us at thevro.com.